This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM Channel 158. So many options. We just require that you pick one. We don't require it. We're grateful that you do. It's Gil Alexander in San Francisco. Kelly Bidlin back in Las Vegas. What up?
Hey, yo. Good morning. How we doing?
Doing pretty good, man. Doing all right. You know? Yeah. We got some tennis going on this morning, as always, sweating through that. On the show today, Jensen Lewis, kind enough to hang out. Man does buy the books for, three hours every morning? And then we have the audacity to ask him to hang around for another 15 minutes and join us.
That's right.
But he's kind enough to join us. So we look forward to his plays in baseball today. Maybe some trade deadline thoughts. Chris Felica, college football futures. Let's go. His bread and butter, besides horse racing, of course. We'll talk college football with the Bear, as he is known. We've done NFC divisions all week. Kelly, why stop now? Let's wrap it up with the NFC West, largely considered the best division in football, I guess, except for the Cardinals. So maybe not. Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of well, that's where I think you got to go NFC West or NFC North, right? Like, do you go the top to bottom NFC North or NFC West top heavy?
Yeah. Would you, three great teams or two great ones, one very good one, and then the Cardinals. We'll get into all that. Tyler Shoemaker, both college football futures and WNBA futures. Looking forward to that because those are his two bread and butter sports. With the tissue index. So we will talk to him about that. And then a little later on, Chris Gordy is going to join us, breaking down the SEC. Looking forward to this because we just had SEC Media Day. Not sure if anything developed out of that. But the SEC is a pretty interesting discussion because you have a situation where you're going to nine conference games this year, Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
And so you will most likely, right? You will most likely end up with a situation where, you know, they're all playing each other one more time than they have in the past. And, you know, if you look at projections like Bill Connolly, our buddy Bill Connolly, who's like the Aaron Schatz of college football with SP Plus. Matter of fact, his background is at Football Outsiders with Aaron before he broke off to ESPN and started doing SP Plus. He did SP Plus before he got to ESPN. But his projected win total, his highest projected win total in the SEC is like, I think, 9.8 wins. So what I'm getting to is, and this will be a question I'll ask of Chris Gordy later, is adding the extra conference game. Sure, maybe Georgia exceeds that, right? Maybe even another, maybe a Texas does, but maybe not. What happens, I guess, when the committee has to evaluate all these SEC teams? Will it, sure, they'll get to a lot of bowl games, but what will it impact one or two or three of them when it comes to the actual playoffs themselves?
Yeah, I'm
It'll
also
be interesting.
Yeah, that very interesting. I'm also kind of obsessed with the Arch Manning conversation at this point, Gil. I mean, like, I feel like I've heard in this offseason that, like, Arch Manning is still live to go, like, first overall in next year's draft, and that he's also could be out of the first round. So I'm really interested to see how that develops this season.
Arch Manning. You know, it's funny because I guess the takeaway, if you ask the average person, like if I ask my buddy Tommy in DC, I go, hey, what do you think about Arch Manning? He's like, oh, it really hasn't lived up to the hype, right? That would probably be his knee jerk reaction. Arch Manning, best QBR in college football from November on last year, but also like when he rolls out, the most inaccurate quarterback you'll ever see.
Yeah.
So, which is just really weird, right?
It is. It absolutely is. And I'm really looking forward to this college football season, a couple of these top quarterbacks to see how they progress through the season, right? And then we always got to play the game at the end, Gil. How much does the Manning name matter, right? And I think it's going to matter to some NFL teams.
Yeah. Can't argue with the pedigree. That's for sure. The greatest pedigree there is with father, or I should say with grandfather, with father, with uncle, or I should say with grandfather and two uncles, I should say, because that's Cooper's son. Okay.
Hey, Cooper played high school ball, right? It was
Cooper
like a wide receiver or something. Yeah,
that's right. Okay. Tennis. There were five plays for subscribers, VSiN.com/picks. One of them is a cancellation. Our girl, Oleníková, she did not make it for her match. So that one is nullified. But we, like yesterday, couldn't hit the two biggest dogs on the board. So both Lanlana Tararudi, you know Lanlana Tararudi, Kelly.
Oh, yeah,
and,
sure.
And Alina Haraeva, plus 171 dogs, plus 151 dogs. They both lost to start the overnight. So we're left with two. Meyer Sharif, if you remember, won a tournament last year. She beat Paula Badosa in the final. But the way that the final went was it was 6-4-4 love. We were on Sharif as a big dog, and then Badosa took her toys and went home because God forbid she lets us have a win against her. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So they're facing each other now the next week. This is, I believe, the quarterfinals of a tournament in Hamburg, Germany. And we're in a third set. Our girl, Maya Sharif, who we backed again, is up a break early in the third set, 2-1. She's a plus 133 dog, so hopefully we get that one home. And then the only one remaining, for those who are interested in playing later on, a little pre-flop, is on the men's side, Roman Andres Buruchaga once again.
Buruchaga.
I can't fight this feeling deep in... Okay, sorry.
No, it's all right. Please, continue.
I love that you're betting Buruchaga again. It's fantastic. I'm just glad I got to do that one more time.
I've probably backed this dude like five times in the last 2 weeks.
Yes.
I think we're like,
what, yeah, I think that's what we're
one.
Up to. Yeah.
And he's always a dog, right? He's an underdog every single time. It's one of these really interesting situations where a dude with spectacular numbers on a surface, his on clay, keeps getting, in my opinion, it's been corroborated by the results so far, keeps getting no love in the actual betting market. So we'll do it again. Buruchaga at plus 117. Is the play a little later on? That's not for a couple hours. How's the golf looking, sir? The 3M Open.
Fantastic. Let's see. We've got Mr. Ben Coles out there right now. 12 under par, 3-shot lead over one Gary Woodland at the 3M Open, second round action. Ben Coles through 9. I had a 66-1 on him to be first round leader yesterday, Gil, so that was a nice little way to get this tournament started. Yeah.
Come on.
Continue the roller coaster ride of golf over the past 4 weeks, man. It has been wild. It has been very profitable, but man, it has been wild. Reminder, Ben Coles, the same guy who helped me get Chris Goddard up across the finish line four tournaments ago, the John Deere Classic, they were tied with Ben Coles on the 18th, and he just put it in the water, basically just to give Goddard up the win. Remember, I owe you a fruit basket, Gil Alexander. I owe Ben Coles a big-time fruit basket already, and hopefully he just keeps this up and goes wire to wire this weekend. That would be great.
What do you owe me the fruit basket for?
No, I owe Ben Coles the fruit basket because he's the first-round leader yesterday, and then he was the one guy in Chris Goddard's way 4 weeks ago when I cashed on him and he hit in the water and got out of the way.
Oh, okay. I heard that wrong. My apologies. All right. But congratulations on the 66-1. You're being kind of nonchalant about that. Well done.
Yeah, it was nice. It was nice. Thanks, man. So it was a nice little sweat yesterday afternoon down the stretch.
And then of course there's the Red Sox. The Red Sox resume their march on July tonight, a 3-game set at home at Fenway against the Toronto Blue Jays. Can't wait for this. Didn't the scoreboard though, you know, these teams are three back of the Red Sox. The Red Sox have 8 to play. They're 15-2. The Tigers and Brewers are both 3 wins back, 12-5, 12-7 now after the Tigers win over the Royals yesterday. Another one run win, not another. They're only 2-1 this month in one run wins. But the Tigers and Brewers only have 7 games left. Then you see the Orioles, Diamondbacks, and Braves. Hey, the Diamondbacks showing up on the graphic now. But again, it's all the Red Sox have to do is go 5-3, and they're guaranteed victory. Everybody else in that scenario assumes that they go undefeated. So really, it's probably they only have to go 4-4 or 3-5. But things can happen. We don't want to count our count chickens before they're hatched. Just got to make it happen. Magic number is 5 for our Boston Red Sox, Kelly. Our Boston Red Sox.
There we go, man. Let's go. You're going to be... I hope they make this easy on you and this isn't a sweat the entire next week. This might be the longest week of your life.
Well, I mean, you know, the other way to look at it is because we have our little silly little bet, right? It's not really silly. It's not really little. But the Red Sox, you know, if you go back into the annals of baseball history, and I love doing that, you know, I do. The greatest, you ever think about what's the greatest calendar month record? Because we just talked about in the time period that we've been these bets.
Great call.
2.5 years that the Marlins last month was the best record of all of those 15 months of the 2 years before this and the first three of 2026. The Marlins, I think what they were 20-6 in the end, something like that. Can't remember. I think 20-6. So go back, the best, the most wins ever in a month. And this goes back to when they were playing apparently double headers a lot during baseball. You have to go back to 1916. You remember the New York Giants of 1916, the New York baseball Giants. They were 29-5, but that's a different era of baseball. And they played 34 games.
That doesn't count before Prohibition.
Actually, they played 36. Somehow two were not recorded as a win or a loss. I have no idea what that's about. But if we're looking for what's the greatest winning percentage of any month in baseball history, it is the Cubs of 1906. So 2 years before they won that World Series that we always hearkened back to before they won it again in 2016, right? The Cubs of 1906 in August went 26-3. I bring that up only to say that while we're concentrating on our bet, that if the Red Sox somehow win their last eight games, these Red Sox will have the greatest month winning percentage wise in the history of Major League Baseball.
Let's go. Only just 120 years back.
Hey, stranger things have happened, but just letting you know how good this has been at 15-2. We'll come back. Jensen Lewis on Major League Baseball, his thoughts on the trade deadline, all his plays today. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NFL preseason is only a couple weeks away, and the smart money's already moving lines. Lock in our football special for just $175 before the price goes up next month. You'll get instant access to the VSiN NFL betting guide to help you attack futures, win totals, and player props. Plus, we're including the new Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide with over 425 player profiles, projections, and rankings to help you prep for your fantasy draft. Sign up now. You get full VSiN Pro access across every sport through the Super Bowl. That includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander in San Francisco, Kelly Bidlin in Las Vegas here on A Numbers Game. This gentleman hosts By the Books with Captain America David Ross Monday through Friday that precedes us every one of those weekday mornings. He is kind enough to hang out for an extra 15 minutes with us. It's Jensen Lewis, everybody. How you doing, Jensen?
Good to be with you, boys. Gil, I'm riding with you, man. Cheering from afar on this most wins in July market, buddy. It's the hardest month to handicap because of the All-Star break. And, you know, certain teams only have a game or more or game fewer. So, I couldn't believe where the start of the month was, and then after the All-Star break to do what they did. Rooting you on, my friend. Very excited for that big ticket you got.
Thank you. I appreciate it. What could, as they say, Jensen, what could go wrong, right? What could go wrong here with eight games left?
Right.
I can't think of anything. I can't think of anything offhand. Real quick, people should know, because we gave a trivia question to Will Hill the other day about Bo Jackson. A question about rushing yards, which current NFL coach has more career rushing yards than Bo Jackson. And we stewed on that, it totally rattled Will for his segments. You have totally rattled me, because you and Kelly just said that you guys went through the five Hall of Famers that have homered off you in your career. Five?
Yes. Yeah, there, and I misspoke. There's only four that are currently in, but one that will be there pretty soon. The one that will be there pretty soon has two homers off me. Miguel Cabrera is the one, but the four current active Hall of Famers, Joe Mauer, which scuttled a a shutout save opportunity that I had in Cleveland. Jim told me where I think NASA is still tracking the ball that he hit off me at Target Field. Derek Jeter, one of the cheapest opposite field home runs that I still think had a little fan interference to deal with it. And then Vladimir Guerrero Jr., which might have been the one where you just kind of turn around, Gil. This was a day, I was telling Kelly, it's a day game in Anaheim, getaway day. It's a changeup that was low and away, and I had kind of yanked it a little bit into the left-hander's batter's box, or so I thought. And Vladimir Guerrero just goes out and absolutely not only tattoos it, but hits it off the mountain there at Angel Stadium in left center field. And I just kind of looked and I was like, well, if you're going to give him up to the Hall of Famers. That's what they've been doing their entire career. So not bad. The only guys that have hit multiple home runs off me are Miggy and Jared Saltalamacchia, who for whatever reason is a perfect 4-for-4 with two homers and a double off of me. So he saw everything that I had. But that was kind of fun. Memory lane, just going there like, all right, you know, the guys that were supposed to hit homers off you, they did. And so not bad looking back and seeing what we did there.
I would just like to add that Jeter was one of my initial guesses and why it convinced me to take it off my list, because he just wasn't powerful enough. Oh. You know, just wasn't powerful enough.
By the way, I buried the headline. Wyatt Tomchek joining us later to talk some NASCAR with us, for God's sakes. My apologies to Wyatt. Saltalamacchia owned you, Jensen. That's interesting. I think I would have gotten Jeter and Tomei, but not Mauer or Guerrero. That's my hunch on that. Don't worry, it could be worse.
The guys that were the best, and I'll throw it back to you. Kevin Youkilis, 714 lifetime, 5-for-7. Mark Tian, 5-for-7. And I think all five of those hits came at Kauffman Stadium when he was a member of the Royals. So go figure. A-Rod, 0-for-4, I think with 3 punch outs. Big Poppy, I believe, is 0-for-7 or 0-for-9 with a handful of 150-mile-an-hour exit velo lineouts. But, hey, an 0-for is an 0-for.
Wow.
So it's always fun going back and be like, oh, you know what? I actually kind of own that guy. So it was kind of fun.
Flex on him, Jensen.
I love that you were able to move on from the guys who got the best of you, if you know what I mean.
Pretty easily, right?
You're like Euclid, 7-of-14. He's going to give me the advanced stats. Okay, real quick. So let's get these out of the way first. You have a lot of plays today. What's your biggest one? You have a big one above all.
Yeah, I have two totals that I'm very, very keen on. The first is in PNC Park. Two guys that have been going really well here, Gil. Cubs and Pirates. Matthew Boyd going to get the start for Chicago. Two of his last three road starts has given up no runs whatsoever. And Jared Jones now has 3 straight starts where he's allowed 1 or 0 runs. Going to play an under 8.5. It's juiced to minus $1.34, but I wanted the extra cushion in trying to get that one home. So I do very much like the under, even though the Pirates, as a home favorite, the top team to the over. I'm just going more on recency bias here and recent form of where Boyd and Jones have really locked it down here. Similarly, with a really good matchup in Philadelphia at Citizens Bank Park, Yankees-Phillies playing an under 8 at minus $1.29. Cam Schlittler, Gil, and Kelly has not allowed more than 2 earned runs in a road start since April 12th at Tampa Bay. That spans 9 consecutive road starts, 2 earned runs or fewer. And then Jesus Luzardo, who's getting the ball here for Philadelphia, 3 of his last 4 home starts, he's given up 2 runs or fewer. I did play a little 2-unit on the Phillies alternate run line, guys, at minus 1 at plus $1.09. Philly is 27-16 straight up as a home favorite this year. I think it's lower scoring. I like a little 3-1 Phillies over the Yankees to get both those big bets home.
All right. You also like the Brewers on the run line over the Rockies today and also taking the over in that ball game.
Yeah, Tomoyuki Sugano, free batting practice to any Brewer hitter who wants to jump in on it. Last 4 starts, a 6.85 ERA for the Rocky hurler there. A 4.10 start there at American Family Field. So we'll play 1.5 over 8.5, minus $1.14. Milwaukee is 22-19 as a home favorite on the run line, so nothing egregious, nothing ridiculous. I just think the Brewer offense right now really tailor-made, especially some of the left-handed power bats, Yelich, Bowers. They should be able to take advantage of where Sugano is at this point. And we'll also lay that run line, as I said, minus 1.5 at minus $1.17. So Brewers for 1.5 on the run line, over 8.5 in that one for 1.5 as well.
And I don't want to shortchange you because there's one more Tigers run line over the Royals to close it out.
got burned on it last night. We'll go right back to the well. I'm prepared to get hurt again here, Gil. But I like Tarik Skubal a lot more to be able to limit some of the runs there that Kansas City could get out there. For what it's worth, his last 19 innings head-to-head against the Royals, Skubal has just surrendered 2 total runs. I think that this is a spot really where this Tiger offense, even in a comeback win last night, I think they get out early and often. They put this one away for good.
All right. Appreciate that. A whole bunch of picks there from Jensen. A trade deadline now 10 days away, man. 10 days. And we've been, you know, we've been emphasizing this. I'm sure you and Dave have as well. We just don't know much. There are so many teams bunched up to that third wild card position that I'm not sure what front offices are willing to wave the white flag yet. What is your sense of what we do know? Who do you have a hunch will here?
So because, and I know you'll have a rooting interest in this with the Red Sox welcoming in the Blue Jays later on tonight, I do think it's stick a fork time in Toronto. They are 6 games back of the wild card, but they will have starting pitching assets in both Kevin Gausman and Shane Bieber that I think they're going to want to offload, and I think they will get some very solid return on. So I think that's kind of where I draw the line. Toronto, the Athletics, the Royals, and the Angels for sure sellers in the American League at this point. That leaves Detroit with the win last night, very critical for them to stay 4 back, not only in the wild card, but I think 4.5 back now in the Central. Gil, I think every GM that currently today, and I think even forecast a week later, if you're within 4 games with about 3 or 4 days before the deadline, I think you're going to give your team maximum runway to try and be in this as long as possible. So Detroit is kind of my chaos candidate A. If they're out of it, then that means Skubal's gone. But I would also look at Houston. Dana Brown is defiant to maybe a fault.
Yes.
That guy does not want to sell. And I don't blame him, but God, Josh Hader would look amazing in a bullpen of a contender. I just don't think Houston's going to sell to this point.
So would Mason Miller. We're not sure if the Padres are going to sell in the National League either. All right, last thing, and I just want to harken back to something you said, because you played at the highest level, so it's always interesting to pick your brain about this. You mentioned Schlittler and his performance on the road. Obviously, he's good everywhere, but particularly on the road. Is that a thing? When we as handicappers and as media folks make a big deal over home-road splits, generally, is that really a thing, or is it largely not, and it just happens to be random?
There is some randomness, but I think just knowing Schlittler and his personality, this is a big dog wanting to eat and loves the theater, loves the opportunity. He didn't get to pitch, you know, here in the Midsummer Classic, and I think that'll mean something to him. Not that he couldn't, but this will be an opportunity for him to shine, and he's a guy that loves that kind of stage, Gil, no question about it.
Yeah, ballpark factor matters, but I'm always curious if we make a bigger deal of it than not. Jensen, always interesting. Pleasure. Thank you so much for staying on.
You got it, boys. Thanks.
At JLew50, by the way, if you want to check out Jensen on Twitter, that's JLew and the word 50 after that. Coming back, baseball awards, done or not done.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
20 leagues, one mission, just win bets, baby. Your premier source for daily sports betting picks. They break down the data so you can bet with confidence across the entire sports calendar. Scan the QR code on your screen or visit just winbetsbaby.com. That's just winbetsbaby.com today. And start betting smarter with Just Win Bets, Baby. The name says it all. I was up 2 breaks in the third set, and by me, I mean Maya Sharif. Guess what? 4-1 to 4-4.
Oh.
Die, Paula Badosa. I mean, on the tennis court, not in real life. Just die.
Good quick catch. Good quick catch.
Go away. Yeah, that's all I need, right? We get tweets
hey,
at Beat of the Book.
Wait, hold on. I got a real serious question for you. I obviously, please. I've been having a lot of fun with the Burrachaga. We haven't started yet. Kind of want to bet Burrachaga, but this would obviously be my first time betting it, and you've bet him like 5 times in a row, and he's cruising. Are you one of those people that's superstitious enough that Kelly should just stay away from betting this?
No, am I going to mess it up? No, except for when it's Todd Wishnev.
Okay.
He is the ultimate mush of other people's bets.
See, this
Todd is a lot of Todd is incredible at college basketball. Todd is incredible at WNBA. He's a great bettor himself. But the last thing you want is for him to jump on your bets.
Okay. Okay. Good enough. See, this is, I love the very truthful answer from you, Gil, because we talk about it all the time, right? And I know you, you know me, we are not the superstitious types, nope. But all of us betters, a little stitious, right? We're a little stitious.
We're a little stitious.
Like Scott line, yeah. Little stitious. Yeah,
we're a little stitious. Right, even wait. Dr. Bob, even Bob, by the way, like when he used to be on a college basketball heater, we'd go have a salad up here at Blue Barn for like ridiculously overpriced, expensive salads in San Francisco.
Yep.
And I remember one day daring to sit in a different spot. And he was like, hey, what are you doing, man?
What are you doing? It's not our table. Wait, what price did you get on Burachaga again? You had plus money, right?
Plus money, plus 117. What is he now?
This is swung big time. I see minus 120s on him out there.
There you go. It's your 37 cents of CLV. What could possibly happen that...
Yeah. All right. Maybe I'll stay away.
This is the thing. We had a match last week where we had like 40, 45 cents on Krajicova too, and she ended up winning. But it was a gut check. It was tight.
Barbora.
She won.
I always love to lean into that.
We get tweets. Speedy the book. New Jersey, New York. One, great job by Kelly yesterday with Coles, first round leader. Two, without getting too into the weeds, if we were to look at Arch Manning without the name, you'd see a second-year starter with pedigree who closed the season having clearly adjusted. I think there's a solid chance he has a great 2026. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. Patrick Kelly. Gil just wants to hear Kelly sing some Burachaga again before official vacation. Happy Friday, gentlemen. Thank you. Enright. Cooper Manning was a good college receiver for Ole Miss and suffered a neck injury, forcing him to quit. We took driver's ed for an elective, and he was hilarious. Yeah. Hashtag hottie toddy, by the way. He said, yeah, that was the Cooper Manning story. He did get the severe neck injury, and that was the end of his career. Brian Point Schaefer, we all heard it right, Gil. Kelly said, you know how I owe you a fruit basket? Pay that man his fruit basket in my Teddy KGB voice, he says.
All right, I'm sorry.
This is from, I'm not even going to say this because he's probably getting me something. This is from Montas85LT. He says, not to R&A the show, but Gil, you heard right. You're owed a fruit basket. Paul Nelson, good morning, Gil and Kelly Bidelon. Happy Friday from an Every Day is Friday guy. The Chargers start the season with Arizona and the Raiders. Wouldn't it be prudent to wait until they're 2-0 to bet the under? Yes. In fact, we said that exact same thing earlier a few weeks back. Yeah.
Yep.
Tronsky, hey, Gil, you're starting off with SEC shooting itself in the foot. I don't know why Commissioner Sankey has to double down with his with this when the playoff committee clearly does not factor in strength of schedule as well as it could. This is setting up indeed for division and disappointment. Yeah, that's my first question later to Chris Gordy. Same thing. That's exactly what is going to happen. There's no doubt that's on the way. And then D-Mill 3219, Gil, please stay another week in Cali. I'm fearing you might return to Vegas and mush that 80-1 shot. Great call by you, win or lose. Thanks. Hey, thank you. And I'm not coming back to Vegas next week. I'm letting the Red Sox win first. That we should be clear on.
It's like 40 degrees warmer in Las Vegas than San Francisco right now. Wait, you just showed me 58? It's 58 right now? Jeez.
Ish. Shout out to Matt Hicks. I think I guessed that on the number. Matt Hicks did?
Often does that back there. It's a little scary.
There are times, by the way, 40 is not the record difference. There have been times where I have flown from 115 in Vegas to like 65 here. So 50 degrees is the record. Warmest place in the country, coldest place in the country. It's a beautiful thing. And by cold, I mean paradise. Sorry. Maya Sharif serving for the match. Okay. Let's do a little bit of this because we talked about these ML.
Yeah.
What's that?
Done or not done yet. Game time. This is one of my favorite games. We don't play enough. We don't play this enough.
We don't play this enough. Done or not done. American League MVP, Yordan Alvarez, minus 350. I have been talking up Yordan Alvarez since he was in plus, I don't know about plus money. Yes, short plus money, then into short minus money, then into like the minus 175 range, and now he's minus 350. Yes, unless he gets hurt, which is what everybody was anticipating, this is done. Ooh. It's done and it's been done. And I'm not really quite sure why people didn't get that this was done. They were so wrapped up in the, of course he's going to get hurt. By the way, it's Bobby Witt who ends up getting hurt. So you can never predict that kind of thing, obviously. But again, he leads in all the Triple Crown categories. And now he leads with margin, Kelly. And he leads in other categories like the slash lines of OBP and slugging, leads and hits. I mean, it is a complete landslide for Alvarez, to the point now as we turn the calendar next week to August, then we will get into the discussion of how many more weeks do we have to go where even if he does get an injury, it won't matter.
Ooh, okay.
Right? We're not there yet, but unless he gets hurt, this is done. That's my answer.
All right. NL MVP, Mr. Gil Alexander. Shohei Ohtani coming back to the pack a little bit. He is minus 550 now. Pete Crow Armstrong plus 380. Done or not done yet, NL MVP?
I don't think this is done now. Mm. I don't. I think Will Hill said it best earlier in the week. Like, there's too much going on with Shohei right now. Just in terms of his overall game, period, both pitching and hitting, where it's just like, I don't know if this is, like, again, this is one of these things where you have to put your minds into the voters. There's a little bit of sort of psychology here, which is, okay, this guy can win the award every single year because he is unlike anything else we've ever seen, yep, you know, since Babe Ruth. So might that voter then say to themselves, self, I should be seizing on every opportunity where there is a reason not to vote for him. And this isn't Shohei's A game this year, right? This is just not peak Shohei at this point. So could he win still? Of course he could. Still the leader in the clubhouse and still justifiably so. But if the regular season sort of enters or sort of closes with a whimper by his standards, I don't know if voters don't think of another player to vote for. Problem is, I don't know who that player is, and that's why Will's recommendation was the field.
Right.
So I don't know if that's the problem, right? So he could still win this, but no one else is super emerging, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of places, though, you could bet no prices, like Will brought up the other day. I think that would be the way to go, absolutely, if you were looking to go against Shohei here. And Gil, I don't know, we bring this up all the time, a lot of the times, and I mean sometimes about other athletes, but Ohtani is the best example of what you were talking about with the voters. And I think it's worth bringing up. I don't know if me and you have just flat out said it before, but I believe in that. I do. Like, I believe that yeah, has to be somewhere in the heads of every voter, just thinking that way. Because yes, it's, and I don't want to say that means automatically that's going to happen, but they at least have to think about that.
Yes, I think they do. Because again, I mean, in the end, are you going to give him 10 MVPs?
Right,
then?
Right. Nobody else has a chance. Okay, one more here. NL Cy Young. Jacob Mizorowski down to minus 245. Then we have Christopher Sanchez 7-1, Zach Wheeler plus 750, and Chris Sale at 9-1 now. Gil, is this done or not done yet?
It's not completely done if we don't know if Miz is okay, right? Mm-hmm. Physically. Because if he just kind of, if they pitch count him to death here or load manage him, by the way, winner, Sharif. Sorry, boom. I was distracted. This is one of these things where if he gets load managed too much, right? If the pitch count is too severe here the rest of the way, because all they care about is the playoffs too, right? They're not unlike the Dodgers in that respect. Then I don't know that it's over by numbers, right? Let's say he just if he were to stay the course, this is over in the same way that Alvarez is over for AL MVP, because the numbers, he leads in everything, everything that matters. But the injury problems make this not done. Not done at all. Yeah.
All right.
Burruchaga, the only remaining tennis play. Let's go. It's a little later on, but nice job on Maya Sharif as a nice little dog there to get us on the board today as we try to get a winning day with Burruchaga later. Coming back, Tyler Shoemaker, WNBA. We'll talk college football with him, college football with Chris Velika. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game, live from both San Francisco and Las Vegas. A show so big, one city couldn't contain us, Kelly.
That's
what I'm going with.
There you go.
That's right. I'll be back there eventually. Yeah. Football's upon us. I won't be here for football. I promise you that. We get tweets beating the book. This is from Mike Zills Duke 90. Nice background, Gil. Mom's maiden name, or his mom's maiden name, was McLaren. He says, my middle name, my middle name, grandma was in the 1906 quake here in San Francisco. Wow.
Oh.
He says, no, I'm not the heir to the car fortune of McLaren. Yeah, San Francisco with most famously earthquakes in 1906, which destroyed the city in the early part of the 20th century. And then 1989, of course, famously during, of all things, the Bay Area World Series between the Oakland Athletics and the San Francisco Giants. It was game three, I believe, was it? Right before game three at Candlestick, or not right before, but during game three, of course, at Candlestick Park, and the Bay Bridge collapsed and the marina behind me was on fire. So his grandma was in the 1906 quake.
That was the year with the win streak we brought up earlier, right? Was it 1906?
Oh yes, the Cubs and right? The Cubs had the best month in the history of baseball win percentage wise in 1906. That's
man,
right,
man. If
well
you,
done, Kelly Bidlin.
If you
well
had done. On your A&G bingo card 1906 being brought up multiple times on the show today, my
right.
God.
Like, that is- well, look, we are going after the very highly coveted 130-year-old audience.
That's right.
The numbers, guys. The curse of Bedosa has lifted. I think it has. Curs at Fluffy Kittens. Justice, see ya, Paula. I like how they get more aggressive as we go on. I'm the same way. Get out of here, Bedosa. Just tormenting us. Till now. Now it's all good. Nemo, Ryan's voice. I'm also on the Brewers. Oh, this harkens back to yesterday. I'm glad Nemo is bringing this up. He goes, I'm also on the Brewers in the over 88 and a half. If there's 13 runs, do you think we'll get paid out or do we need exactly 9? LOL. For those who missed it, be careful where you bet it. This harkens back to yesterday when Crack was on with us. And Adam Burke, our buddy and our VSiN colleague, who is just does everything he does is great at VSiN. He's responsible for steering the ship for all of our betting guides, writes extensively on the website, managing editor of our website. He sent us this thing from his buddy who had made a bet at DraftKings Predictions Market, where he had the over 8.5 in a ball game, the Padres game, a couple nights ago against the Braves. It ended up 7-6. I'll do the math for everybody again. 13 is, in fact, more than 8.5, I'm pretty sure. And then he got in this back, and they graded it a loser. He had the over 8.5, and there were 13 runs scored. And he got in this back and forth, which we read on air yesterday, which could only be AI, right? No human could beat that. Could be that ignorant or stupid, right?
Man,
right?
Man,
he says,
man, have you met some people these days?
Yes, I have. I have actually. Yes, I'm trying to be kind.
I don't
kind.
Know. I'm not completely ruling that one out, Gil. I am not ruling that out. I mean, well, people should read what they're saying, what they're writing, and things like that, because it is just complete nonsensical madness. But yeah.
If it's a human, it's even worse, right? If it's a human, it's worse. At least AI, you can be like, oh, it's just, you know, they don't know what's happening. But yes, the whole, and they went back and forth. They doubled down on it. They doubled down on it, which was, if you were going to win on 13, you would have had to have bet over 12.5. Exactly. So it's just, and as you pointed out very smartly, Kelly, because it's a prediction market, there is no state regulatory body to, you know, rule on such a thing. And I'll add to that the notion that the CFTC would ever rule on such a bit of minutia is ridiculous, right? Mm-hmm. So it just kind of goes into the ether. I don't know, man.
I mean, and even more so, right? You're like, it's not like, okay, maybe you have a problem with a bet at a casino or something, and it's, you know, easy way for them to clear it up is just the casino takes care of you somehow, right? Like, that's not happening. It's a prediction market. Like, the funds are going peer-to-peer. Like, there's nothing they can do in a prediction market like that.
Yeah, you're not pulling it out of the other dude. Well, maybe you are. I don't know. Yeah. We've talked a lot NFL this week. We, of course, love our VSiN NFL betting guide, which we all participated in. We talked extensively about that through the summer. And, of course, this week it's been Aaron Schatz's week here on the show because he showed up on Monday talking about the FTN Almanac. And, by the way, let me just shout out Mike Tenier, who has been with him at Football Outsiders and now at FTN again. Mike Tenier's synopses, I should say, in that almanac are so wildly funny. Like I laugh out loud every time reading them. We'll get to the NFC West later. But our dude that we have sort of neglected is our buddy Cleve TA, who does such a great job previewing the NFL, does such a great job with awards. Are we getting Cleve on here at some point this summer?
Yes. Yeah, I talked with him a little bit yesterday. He is wrapping up his guide now. Sounds like that his full preview guide should be out sometime next week. So for anybody out there who's like me, that is a regular thing that you consume in the offseason, that should be expect sometime next week. And yeah, we'll get him on sometime when you get back, Gil.
Sweet. Okay. Cleve does a great job with awards. So let's take Offensive Player of the Year, where he has put together the parameters of what has been the case in history. What are the parameters needed to maximize your chance of winning in betting these awards? For Offensive Player of the Year, Kelly, since 2000, Cleve tells us, 9 quarterbacks, 13 running backs, and 4 wideouts have won this award. However, the last 7 winners have all been skill position players. All 4 wideouts who have won have been within the past 7 years as pass rates have increased. And I will add, as some of the voters have just sort of decided, this is the repository for best player outside of a quarterback. Mm-hmm. That just is sort of how they put this in their heads. He also tells us the last 16 winners made the playoffs and their teams won 10 or more games. So offensive players of the year simply do not come from mediocre or bad teams. And of the 16 skill position winners since 2000, all were age 28 or younger. Wow. When they entered the season, a rookie has never won this award. So you can't be a rookie. You can't be old. I forgot about that.
Yeah. One. Can we stop on that one for a sec? Cause yeah. How much does that register with you? Cause I guess the way you can read.
Not much.
Yeah. No, me yeah. either. Right. Cause I think the way to read beyond that or read through that is just the, okay, guys, when is usually their peak years in the NFL? Right. It's age 25, 26, 27 usually, right? I don't know that we're talking about, and it's usually not rookie for an award like this. So I think that makes sense, but it's still interesting to see written out.
It is interesting. Do we have the odds, by the way, for Offensive Player of the Year?
Yep, we sure for this do. Year? Jahmyr Gibbs, 7-1, top of okay. the board. Bijan Robinson, plus 850. Jamar Chase, plus 950. Puka Nacua 11-1, Christian McCaffrey 12-1, Justin Jefferson 14-1, Jackson Smith and Jigba 15-1, Saquon Barkley 16-1, everybody else 18-1 or longer.
Oh my God, could those odds be more accurate?
I know.
Like, that's exactly what they should be. Those guys, those are the suspects. And Jahmyr Gibbs at the shortest shot of that bunch, remember, no more David Montgomery. So this is the first year where the Lions mm-hmm. are like, you're our guy, buddy. You're our bell cow. Let's not act like you're not anymore. Bijan was a candidate for this. I thought he should have won it maybe last year. And then there's Jamar Chase now with the return of Joe Burrow. Puka's Puka, as long as he's not getting in trouble off the field. And oh, there you go, Christian McCaffrey there every year. And Justin Jefferson and the reigning champ JSN and Saquon in case he has a bounce back. That whole first column, no one would surprise you.
What's the worst bet on this page? Because I'm like kind of sitting here thinking, like you could make a case for almost every single one of these.
The worst bet on this page is in the second column. And I, for some reason, I said CeeDee Lamb because to me it will be, okay, even if he has a great season, it'll all be empty yards in the end. That's my thought.
Yeah. That could be fair. I think there are some interesting long shots on here. Like the ones that, like, it's tough. I think all these awards are tough. We've kind of been going through these, right? Like, I don't remember. You and I love talking awards. I feel like I've usually got multiple bets at this point heading into a season, and I don't have a single one in awards markets yet. I do think that if you're higher than me, this would not be a bet for me, but if you're betting on Houston this year, you think this is that year where the defense is there and the offense comes along. Nico Collins at 35-1 is interesting. And then I think the other one for me, I'm going to throw out 2 more, Gil. A.J. Brown. Like, I know it's been nothing but bad news around A.J. Brown for the next last year, but
He
will be the go-to wide receiver on New England. You're going to get 40-1 on an alpha wide receiver. Like, that's kind of interesting to me. And then I got one for you. Kind of similar situation. Terry McLaurin, 150-1.
Wait a minute. What's happening?
150 to 1? Like we just talked about it the other day. Like, he's the only guy that we trust them to throw the ball to there.
I'd bet him at 150 before I bet A.J. Brown at 40. Let's put it that way, though I don't think either will win. What do you think will happen first? A.J. Brown wins Offensive Player of the Year, or I'll get that fruit basket you apparently owe me. What do you think happens first?
A.J. Brown, Offensive Player of the Year. But it better happen the next couple of years.
All right.
Getting old.
Yeah, I think Jahmyr Gibbs is the correct short shot. And remember, these are all regular season awards. The playoffs do not matter on all these. Chris Velika, college football next. Let's do it on A Numbers Game here.